Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tonight is the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and Trump is going to be there for the first time his entire presidency. Either presidencies, he has never showed up. He doesn't like getting made fun of. He doesn't like poking fun at himself. But tonight, he is going to be sitting there in a room that traditionally is supposed to represent freedom of press and freedom of speech in America. And that's where the tension is here, because Donald Trump is anything but. Donald Trump is the farthest thing but from somebody who cherishes or is okay with freedom of speech and freedom of press. So I want to point out this tension, and I want to point out that we are not obligated to treat this administration with any sort of respect. The press, journalists, commentators, people like you and I, we are not obligated to treat an administration with respect when they've treated us with the maximum amount of disrespect, trying to silence our voices. Donald Trump will apparently be showing up to this dinner tonight. I've heard that he might show up like an hour late in order to just mess with everybody, but I could see him going there and relentlessly attacking the media, trying to make jokes out of it. But let me tell you, it's not a joke. This is not funny. This is not funny at all. The thing that makes America a beautiful democracy is the fact that we have checks and balances, the fact that the president can be checked by the media, by Congress, by law firms, by universities. Guess what? Trump wants to tear all of that down. So it's very, very important that we push back against this.
This weekend brings together not just traditional media, but also non-traditional, independent media, YouTube influencers who boast millions of followers. And that includes my next guest, Adam Mockler of Midas Touch. His YouTube channel has more than 2 million subscribers. Adam, how interested are your subscribers into tomorrow night's dinner? I know that you're not attending. You would protest attending it. But is there interest?
Yeah, the people that follow me are very, very interested in me representing new media, representing Mockler Media, the company that I built, and representing freedom of press. For as long as I can remember, the tradition of this party has been to celebrate the freedom of press. And there's an inherent friction at this party tomorrow because the person who's going to be sitting in that room has been perhaps the largest purveyor of attacks against free press in American history. I mean, every time he sees a female journalist, he personally attacks her. He sued the Wall Street Journal over this crazy Epstein lawsuit that ended up getting shot down. He attacks CNN and every single company with lawsuits. So I think it's very important we're out there representing the freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom to cover what you want. And that's what my followers are interested in. How can we push back against this creeping anti-free press narrative?
And you think, there are a lot of people who think that reporters shouldn't even go to the dinner because of everything you just delineated, which is just a small fraction of what President Trump has done in terms of his hostility towards the press. Do you think that we shouldn't be going to the dinner? What's your take on all that?
Listen, I totally understand going to the dinner is part of the job. Showing face is very important, but I don't think we are obligated to show this administration any respect when they have treated media with maximum malice since Donald Trump entered the U.S. political scene. Every single time he interacts with some journalist in the Oval Office, it is an incredibly combative interaction. The Pentagon is actively removing career journalists and replacing them with MAGA influencers. So I understand showing up. I'm in the industry. It's part of the job to show face, but at the same time, I don't think that we should treat this like it's normal. This is not a normal White House Correspondents' Dinner. It should not be treated as such.
So for people who don't know, the dinner started in 1921, and every president has attended it at least once, starting back all the way back to Calvin Coolidge, I think, except for President Trump. He's the only one that never attended during his first 4 years. But that will change tomorrow night, we're told, as he comes face to face with the same folks he often attacks and heckles. Here is how his press secretary, Caroline Levitt, previewed his speech.
Without getting ahead of the president, he is going to give a very entertaining speech, not just for all of those journalists in the room tomorrow night, but for the entire country.
What are you anticipating for his speech?
I mean, he can be affable on stage sometimes. He'll likely be in a tired manner, attacking the press, making some jokes. I just again want to reiterate, this is not a normal situation tomorrow, and it shouldn't be treated as a normal White House correspondence dinner. Even if he has a decent stage presence in the moment, it's important to remember when you're in that room that this is a man who has relentlessly, ruthlessly attacked the media's ability to say what they want. So I'm very, very happy to be here during such a high magnitude week representing new media and free speech.
And as you note, the administration, the Trump administration, has cracked down on the press throughout Trump's two terms. Just yesterday, the Pentagon's military newspaper, Stars and Stripes, fired its own internal watchdog. So you're sitting in a new media outlet. How do you think legacy journalists are navigating the roadblocks this White House has continued to put up? Obviously, we're not a monolith, but what's your general take?
I think there has been some great resistance in the sense that people continue to push back when they know things are wrong. AP put up a fight when they were banned from the room, and they continue to say, we deserve to be here. That is very, very important. Now, of course, there are going to be some outlets that metaphorically bend the knee and are too soft on Donald Trump, but I think I've seen a lot of good assertive pushback from the media when it's necessary. I think that, you know, again, when it comes to tonight and navigating tonight, I just think it shouldn't be treated as normal.
If you want to go and show face, but then ruthlessly stand up for freedom of press, that's one thing. If you're going to go there and you're going to put up a fight for the freedom of speech, for the freedom of press, and you're going to literally look away when Donald Trump is speaking, that's one thing. But if you're going to go there and rub shoulders and hobnob and just try to act like everything is normal, you are dead wrong. Everything is not normal. Everything is the farthest thing from normal. And we need to be treating this like it is not normal. The press is under attack. And the fact that the president is going to be allowed in the room with this press is despicable. So, all of that being said, we're going to dig into the current state of the media. Mike Nellis and I do these every Wednesday, every Saturday. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe to us below. We are independent media. We are the variable they did not consider. They knew they could attack law firms. They knew that it could attack college campuses. They knew they could attack mainstream media. We are the variable they did not consider. So if you become a free or a paid subscriber on Substack and YouTube, it helps us build our team, grow our team, and that means a lot. Mike Nellis, what are you thinking about this?
Yeah, well, first of all, Adam, always good to be with you, buddy. And I'm going to start here because I think you are absolutely right about the need to support independent media. And I'm going to reiterate the call here that subscribe to Adam on Substack and YouTube, subscribe to me on Substack and YouTube, support the work that we're doing if you can. Don't do anything that's going to stretch yourself. But the corporate media is absolutely not going to save us from this administration, period, end of story. That model is falling apart no matter what Donald Trump does. And now tonight, they are genuflecting in front of the king. And I find the whole thing to be disgusting. I don't know what else to describe it because I saw a lot of folks, including people I respect and including you, Adam, because you're out there doing all the party circuit last night, which is great. You should be doing that networking. But I think what pisses the American people off is knowing that the economy is fundamentally broken, the job market is destroyed, everything's more expensive, they can't survive, and then they're watching every politician, Democrat or Republican, partying in D.C. last night, throwing this lavish event with the press. It's basically, and I have no nicer way to say this, it's a giant D.C. circle jerk, all right? And I am sick of this shit, and it could not highlight how things are broken more. And I know you're not going to the event tonight, so I'm not criticizing you, buddy. It's just that, like, I hate this stuff. Like, I even was like rolling my eyes at seeing like Gavin Newsom at the Grindr White House Correspondents' Dinner party. And I'm like, there are people who can't pay their bills right now. And to me, I think it's the worst of Washington, what we're seeing. And to go a little deeper on a few things that you said in your intro there, you know, Donald Trump is obviously hostile to the press, obviously hostile to the idea of free speech, period. But this is also a president and a movement of people who talk about their support for the Constitution, shove that in our face. They claim that they're the real patriots, but they don't believe in the Constitution at all. Not at all. First Amendment, they're restricting speech every chance and opportunity they get on college campuses and elsewhere. They're going after and using the power of the FCC to silence comedians that they don't like. By the way, there will not be a comedian at the White House Correspondents' Dinner tonight. Donald Trump refused to go if he was made fun of. Now, compare that to Barack Obama, who took every lick that he deserved, to George Bush, who took the licks. They let Stephen Colbert basically destroy him at the height of his powers at Comedy Central during the war in Iraq. And that's what's supposed to happen, because what you're demonstrating is not a celebration of the relationship between the DC political class and the media class out there. It's supposed to be a celebration of, we can make fun of our king, we can make fun of our president, and the president will sit there, laugh, take it, and everybody moves on. That's what this is supposed to be. Now they've ruined that. They have a mentalist coming. Like, what are we doing? Just a waste of money. But he's not just hostile to the First Amendment like he's hostile to the Second Amendment. When they murdered Alex Preddy on the streets of Minneapolis, they argued that he didn't have a right to bring a gun in a state where he has a right to carry, a concealed carry license. And as a gun owner myself with a concealed carry license who frequently goes to protest ICE and other stuff, I'm offended at the attacks on my rights. And I wonder where the fuck are all of these NRA 2A guys who should be defending this. I mean, to the NRA's credit, they actually called out the admin for that in the moment. But this birthright, citizenship, everything else, they have no respect for the Constitution, no respect for our laws. The only thing they care about, and this leads me to the Ellison media conglomerate that they're building over here with all these different companies that they're owning from CNN to TikTok and everything else. They're in service of a class of people, the Epstein class, is what you should call them, that win no matter what. It's Democrats and Republicans. They are able to manipulate the market during the war in Iran. They're able to get by when inflation is too high. They're able to get every tax break they want in the Republican budget, and you get nothing but the crumbs. And every American should be pissed off at this. I should also note that Larry Ellison is in the Epstein files. He's in the Epstein files, had a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, talked about connecting them with other people. So it's, again, my friend Stephanie Miller makes this point all the time. There is not like 1,000 different scandals to track with Donald Trump. There's just one. It's one scandal. And it's a wealthy, powerful group of connected individuals who yuck it up behind closed doors, protect one another, make sure they don't go to prison, make sure that they have all the money that they need. And they're the ones that are making everything in this country worse, making it harder for people to survive. They're robbing us of our community through technology. They're robbing us of friction, which leads to growth through technology and the way that they've set up society. And I'm absolutely sick of it. And tonight is going to be the poster child for how everything in Washington is about Donald Trump and nobody else and all these other people around
him. Quite literally the poster child. When Donald Trump walks into a room full of journalists that he has been attacking relentlessly since he entered politics, and he has to rub shoulders with those same journalists as they laugh, yuck it up, I think that is exactly what is wrong with the modern day division. Also, it's important to point out, like, people in chat were asking, did they really ban comedians? Yeah. I mean, Mike is absolutely right.
He wouldn't go.
In 2025, they had a comedian drop out because they thought that she was going to be too anti-Trump. Remember, it was Amber Ruff something. She's a really great comedian.
Well, the other thing is, like, why not just get one of these pro-Trump comedians? Like, why? I mean, like, I don't really like them, but, like, you know, Kill Tony. I think Kill Tony's a bit of a loser. But, like, why not get Kill Tony to go up there? Like, there's some fun stuff you could do with a Trump-oriented comedian, but he can't even take the slightest thing. Like, it, and I'm sorry, I'm hijacking your part here, but, like, I don't know if you've ever seen Shane Gillis, who's a pretty right-wing comedian, in my opinion. He has an amazing Trump impersonation. Yeah. They've never appeared together. Like, they should, that's like a slam dunk easy win to, like, have him standing next to him, but he won't do it because he's so vain.
He's like, Shane Gillis is actually pretty, he's funny too. I like Shane Gillis. Yeah. He's good. So it's also perfectly tracking on to the way that Donald Trump and the FCC were attacking Jimmy Kimmel. Remember when they were attacking all of these comedians on air? Just think about
that. And The View. They went after The View.
The president of the United States wants to live in an America where there is only one party, a one-party rule with no pushback from the other side. You see this all the time with the way he treats Congress, the way he treats checks and balances, the way he treats courts, but mainly the way he treats the press and even comedians by extension. He wants there to be one-party rule, and that is his end goal. So the fact that he's banning comedians from this may seem like a small thing, but no, the report is for White House Correspondents' Dinner 2026, the dinner is being held without a comedian headliner. Instead, the White House Correspondents Association booked mentalist Oz Perlman. This is not a legal ban on comedians, but a break from the tradition, as Donald Trump may not be able to handle it. Like, are we joking here? The president of the United States is too sensitive to be roasted at the White House Correspondents that are absolutely sickening. And then, yeah, to loop that all back, what I've been hitting here are a lot of really solid new media dinners where it's a bunch of new media like-minded people that you and I know. And we're all just talking about how we can push for a better future, push for a better independent media ecosystem that is more decentralized than the conglomerate media. The conglomerate media are all beholden to the same, like, seven investors. So we were talking at these new media parties about how we need to create something for the audience, by the audience, where we're not beholden to anybody but the audience. And that is what we've created at both Endless Urgency and Macro Media. Really quickly, the only investors that we have in our venture are just the audience. Genuinely, this is the way that we do it. The only investors we have are you guys. We're not beholden to corporations. We make videos every single day. I always say I could just take off my shirt and make a full YouTube video if I wanted. Nobody would tell me not to. There's no person above me telling me anything other than the audience would probably be like,
I mean, that works for Bert Kreischer, so maybe it'll work for you.
Yeah, either way, make sure you subscribe to the Substack. Make sure you drop a like, but to continue, not to take it too off track. As we build this new independent media sphere, we also need to be paying attention to what is happening in the mainstream media, because at this point, it's getting very, very worrisome. Let me read this. After shareholder approval of the Warner Bros. Paramount Skydance merger, father-son duo Larry Ellison and David Ellison are set to control multiple major media outlets. So this merger between two massive companies is going to give them control of like 40% of the market share of media in the United States, which is wild. This says they'll control TikTok. They'll control Warner Bros., including New Line Cinema, Paramount, which is a big studio, DC Studios, the Discovery Channel, CNN, which is big. They've said, Pete Hegseth said himself, I can't wait until the Ellisons take you over to CNN. He pointed at the CNN producer. Crazy. CBS, HBO. This is huge cultural sway right there. HBO has so many shows that everybody watches. CBS, CNN, these are huge cultural hubs. BET, Fandango, Rotten Tomatoes. This is real cultural sway. Rotten Tomatoes. What if like Dinesh D'Souza makes a stolen documentary movie and they rate it perfectly on there? Like there's so many ways they can use this control.
Or the reverse of that is like, think how these movies get bombed when they have a female lead. Like what happened to Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman. Like now Rotten Tomatoes isn't going to act to correct that stuff when right-wing activists try to take them down.
Yeah. And this is like real. Like it might seem silly that I'm talking about Nickelodeon, MTV, Cartoon Network, but no, this is real legitimate cultural sway that the Ellisons are buying their way into. Comedy Central, Showtime, TBS, TLC, Food Network, Travel Channel, Animal Planet, among many, many others. Like, that's not even the entire list. I thought that in the United States, we were supposed to have free markets and competition. This is inherently anti-competitive when you have a huge corporation that's able to suck up all of the media. So it's just, it's very despicable. And I think it really highlights the importance of having decentralized independent media at this time. But watching Donald Trump and the people around him abuse their money and their power to gain more, it's sickening. Like, you know what I was talking to Micah about the other day is the fact that Micah Irfan, I was talking about the fact that Elon Musk gutted the entire CFPB, the entire Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was gutted in the first month of Trump's term by the richest man on the planet. Could you imagine for one second if Joe Biden would have had Bill Gates walking around the White House, ripping away consumer protections and allowing banks and businesses to rip off consumers? Oh my God, it would be the end of the world as it should be. Like if that actually would happen under Joe Biden, that's awful. But it's actually happening under Trump. It actually happened under Donald Trump. And what Donald Trump did was allow Elon Musk to do this. So the point that I'm making is, when you have an administration that is repeatedly trying to use their money to buy more influence, you end up hurting the average person. Now, the consumer protections that we had, gone. The protections that we had regarding media in order to have a diverse amount of viewpoints is rapidly disappearing on TV, and they're all going to be walking the same line.
Yeah, I mean, and let's not forget the fact that Netflix originally purchased this deal and the Trump administration stepped in to prevent it from happening so that Ellison could get access to all of these networks. And there's a broader like political critique I have here, which is it's wrong for Larry Ellison to own all of this, but it also would have been wrong for a Democratic billionaire to own all of this too, just because we like it. And so what needs to happen is, and Lena Khan talks about this all the time, as do a lot of other people, is we got to break up these monopolies. Like we just have to. I mean, we're living in a world where if you want to understand why everything sucks right now and costs more, it's because like 12 people own everything and they're making it more expensive while shittier. And at the same time, like your wages are depressed. You can't get a job. The number of people working 2-3 jobs right now is the highest it's been since the Great Recession, in 2008. And I think people should be really mad. And it's for what? So that like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg can look miserable when they stand on their mega yacht. Like it's such bullshit. And it's big stuff and it's small stuff too. And I've said this story on your show before when we talked about this stuff, but like 5 years ago, I noticed that Reese's peanut butter cups, which were my favorite candy my entire life, just absolutely started tasting like chalky shit, just absolute disgusting stuff. And I was convinced that they had changed ingredients. And sure enough, like 6 months ago, one of the heirs to the Reese's fortune came out and was like, they changed the formula. This is bullshit. And a big campaign came and now they're going to put real chocolate back into it and real peanut butter back into it. But they made a marginal change to a beloved, you know, a beloved candy that like is a small bit of joy in a day for people so that they could what, save a nickel for every candy bar they sell. And they made a shit ton of money off of it. But like, that's the problem. Everything is worse now. And now on top of all of that, they want to own all the media. And like, you know, Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post and the results of him buying the Washington Post are pretty severe. There was a story this week that came out after the referendum in Virginia where Democrats redrew the lines and they compared two Washington Post editorial columns that came out. One was when Texas was gerrymandering the shit out of the state. And the headline was much ado about nothing. Texas redoes the map in the middle. Like people are freaking out, blah, blah, blah. This time with Virginia, where I'll point out that the people of Virginia made the choice to redraw the maps, not politicians in Virginia. And they said, this is a destruction of democracy. It's horrible. So it's good when Republicans do it because Bezos needs his contracts with the government. Same reason he propped up and funded Melania's shitty documentary that nobody went to see. And then, which by the way, the reason it broke records was because the Trump administration funneled money throughout local Republican parties throughout the country to organize events and buy tickets. So I don't even know if people went, but the only reason it broke the record was because they paid for it themselves, okay, which is par for the course for them. But it's bad when Democrats do it. It's good when Republicans do it. And the more that they coalesce and condense this media, the harder it's going to be to get the truth out there. And that's why independent media matters so much. But what's going to happen here is on TikTok, the Ellisons purchased TikTok. What was the first thing they do? They basically cut off Democratic content creators.
Yep.
Like it has become, I don't even post on TikTok anymore. Right? Maybe somebody on my staff does, but I spend zero time over there because it's impossible to grow and it's impossible to get any creator rewards out of it, even if I pop off and get a great video. Now, YouTube is still largely free and easy to access. I think they want to keep it that way. Substack has been a godsend, I think, to the independent creator movement. It's helped people like us, but also like Don Lemon and Katie Fang and a bunch of other independent journalists. The more that we decentralize this away from corporate America, like corporate America, look, there's lots of good people who work in corporate America, but at the bottom line, they're going to push everything towards profit maximization.
Yep.
Because stakeholder capitalism is dead. They're not interested in delivering for their constituents, which would be people like us, their end user consumers. They're not interested in doing anything other than maximizing their profit and making sure the share value is high. And because of that, they're making a bunch of regressive decisions that are ruining American society, period. And it's only going to get better if there are independent voices out there that build that. And the counterweight of that, and I'll hand it back to you, Adam, is we're going to have to deal with some pretty shitty human beings on the right that also build giant creator networks, right? Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens. They might be on our side relative to the Iraq war the war in Iran, but they are not our friends. Like the enemy of your enemy is sometimes still a shitty human being. But we're going to have to deal and contend with them. You go on shows like that and talk to them. We've got to do the same over here. We don't have as many people who have built up massive followings. It's why I'm super proud of you for building an audience of 2 million people. Like that's a massive amount of people. You're probably like top 5 content creator on the Democratic Party side right now. You don't get the props that you deserve for building that audience. The more you grow, the more I grow, the more everybody else grows, the better we're going to be able to compete with them with this infrastructure. And they've got a 10-year head start on us because they've been doing it a lot longer. And they're taking money from foreign governments too to grow. Like we know Laura Loomer's getting paid by foreign governments. We know Benny Johnson is too. Yep. We're not doing that. It's just good old you, me, and everybody that's willing to support us.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for the kind words. Second of all, yeah. And when Donald Trump starts to realize that we are the variable he did not consider, we are the unknown variable, then he'll start to relentlessly attack independent media more, but we're planning for it. He already went after Georgia Fort and Don Lemon. That was the big one. But other than that, he is continuing to maintain his ire on the mainstream media as he sues the Wall Street Journal for the Epstein birthday letter for $10 billion. And then it got shot down. It got shot down like a few months after. It was just a weak, superfluous, dumb, spurious, they call it. Spurious lawsuit.
It's the same with the Southern Poverty Law Center, too. Like, they've got this indictment this week. It's an absolute joke. It's designed to create headlines, then it floats away. Same thing will happen with Don Lemon. They want to drain us of money, resources, and time, get the headline they want to gin up their base, and then move on.
And then create the chilling effect for people like us to be like, well, maybe I should be a bit more careful. But no, F that. We are not going to be careful. We're going to cover this administration relentlessly. And what I want to see tonight, just to wrap it up, is a ruthless defense of the free press at this dinner. I want to see people standing up and standing for the tradition that this dinner has always embodied, which is freedom of speech, freedom of press. Now, am I optimistic that the people who are there to gain more access are going to, you know, skewer that access in order to make a scene? I think the journalists will probably just stay quiet. But they shouldn't. F that. This is not a normal time. We should not treat this as a normal time. And anybody who's going there, treating it as such, is making a huge mistake and is actually contributing to the downfall of our democracy and freedom of press. I'll say that. If you're going there and you're just mucking it up and you're just being so nice and Trump is sitting a few seats away and you don't care and you're just, that is effed up. And you are contributing to the downfall of our democracy. Now,
can I add too? Sorry, because one of the ironies of the night is Caitlin Collins is winning an award for journalism based on the Epstein files. Wow. So like there's a tension in the room tonight that she's being awarded for something that Donald Trump completely denies happened.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, and that's why the role of new media here has been important. We've been having, like I said, different events trying to make sure that we represent in our own way without doing this swamp shit that I'm seeing online. But I think we should wrap it up there. This is a really good episode. Thank you.
Can I add one more thing before we go?
As bad as much as you want.
Thank you. Like you use the term chilling effect, and I just want to like underline that for a second so that people understand like every action that they take beyond self-interest and enrichment is also about scaring the shit out of us so that we don't fight them. Like that's what they want. And so when you see them murder Alex Pretty on the streets of an American city, they want you to second guess whether or not you should take out your phone and record ICE because something might happen to you. When they go after Don Lemon, they want people like Adam and I to go, well, maybe I shouldn't post that video because the Trump administration is going to get mad at me.
Yep.
When they go after Southern Poverty Law Center and Act Blue and other parts of progressive, moderate, middle of the road, regular human being infrastructure that takes down hate groups and builds campaigns that are not, you know, corporate funded, but people backed, it's because they want people to go, well, I'm not going to engage with that. They want you to be scared. So like every time you feel that little bit of scared, and it's okay to feel that way because this is a scary time we live in, like look in the mirror, take a deep breath and know that we need you, because we can't do this without a lot of people standing up. And you know, they can't hurt me. They can't hurt Adam Mockler. They can come after us all they want. And they have. I mean, I've had to deal with the House Judiciary Committee and Laura Loomer on conspiracy theories. I'm sure someday, unfortunately, Adam, that will happen to you as you get bigger. You put a target on your back. But we need a lot of people standing with us. And corporate media is not coming to save us. The Democrats are not coming to save us. Like, we're the ones that have to force. We have to force them to do the right thing. And I think we've got to keep building it up, and we can't do it without everybody. So I hope you do subscribe and engage. And if you're willing to become a paid subscriber to either of us, it does go a long way, because we've got staff to pay, we've got studios, we've got technology that goes into this. It is not cheap to run these companies, to be honest with you. So I'll end it there.
Well, very, very well said. I really do appreciate that, and I appreciate that we continue to push forward. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.